Hare Krishna. It's my honor and gratitude to be able to speak from Srimad Bhagavatam this morning in this most holy dham of Bhaktivedanta Manor. And I want to extend my special gratitude to Sutapa Prabhu, who encouraged me to give class and made the arrangements. So thank you, Prabhu. So today we'll be reading from Canto 10, Chapter 13, Text 47 to 48. And let me just get the right chapter here. And the chapter is entitled Brahma Stealing the Boys and Calves. So it's text 47, 48. So I'll just read this because it's not on the board. The Kustuba gem on their necks, which were marked with three lines like a conch shell, and bracelets on their hands. Nupurai with ornaments on their feet. Katakai with bangles on their ankles. Batahaha appeared beautiful. Kati Shutra Anguli Yakai with sacred bells around the waist and with rings on their fingers. So translation by Srila Prabhupada. All those personalities had four arms holding conch shell, disc, mace and lotus flower in their hands. They wore helmets on their heads, earrings on their ears, and garlands of forest flowers around their necks. On the upper portion of the right side of the chest was the emblem of the goddess of fortune. Furthermore, they wore armlets on their arms, the Kustuba gem around their necks, which were marked with three lines like a conch shell, and bracelets on their wrists, with bangles on their ankles, ornaments on their feet, and sacred bells around their waist. They all appeared very beautiful. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. All the Vishnu forms had four arms, with conch shell and other articles, but their characteristics are also possessed by those who have attained the Sarupya Mukti in the Vaikuntha, and who consequently have forms exactly like the form of the Lord. However, these Vishnu forms appeared before Lord Brahma, also possessed the mark of Sri Vatsa and the Kustuba gem, which are special characteristics possessed only by the Supreme Lord Himself. This proves that all these boys and calves were in fact directly expansions of Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, not merely his associates of Vaikuntha. Vishnu himself is included within Krishna. All the opulences of Vishnu are already present in Krishna, and consequently, for Krishna to demonstrate so many Vishnu forms was actually not very astonishing. The Sri Vatsa mark is described by the Vaishnava Toshani as being a curl of fine yellow hair on the upper portion of the right side of Lord Vishnu's chest. This mark is not for ordinary devotees. It is a special mark of Vishnu, O Krishna. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Malitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye vanchakalpaturabhyascha kripasindubhyevacha patitanam pavinebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the verse again. All those personalities had four arms, holding conch shell, disc, mace and lotus flower in their hands. They wore helmets on their heads, earrings on their ears, and garlands of forest flowers around their necks. On the upper portion of the right side of their chest was the emblem of the goddess of fortune. Furthermore, they wore armlets on their arms, the Kastuba gem around their necks, which were marked with three lines like a conch shell, and bracelets on their wrists. With bangles on their ankles, ornaments on their feet, and sacred belts around their waist, they all appeared very beautiful. So before I comment on the verse and the purport, I just wanted to offer a few reflections that I had on Srila Prabhupada's purport. As many of you all know, this was the very last chapter that Srila Prabhupada translated during his stay with us on this planet. And the 64th verse of this particular chapter was the last verse. So, in preparation for the class, I read the purport a few times. And while reading the purport, an image kept coming into my mind. And that was the image of Srila Prabhupada lying in his bed in Vrindavan during his last days, being very weak, completely emancipated, and not being able to really move much, and the devotees holding the dictaphone to his mouth. I'm sure many of you all have seen that video. And Srila Prabhupada is extremely weak, and the doctors explained that in that condition, Srila Prabhupada would have been in excruciating pain. Excruciating pain. But yet, Srila Prabhupada could translate and give us this purport with such clarity and such depth. And for me, it was simply amazing. And it, you know, brought two realizations to myself. The first realization is that Srila Prabhupada is completely transcendental, you know, transcendental to the body. And the second realization is the extent to which Srila Prabhupada was prepared to go to give us all Krishna consciousness. You know, it is unheard of in such a condition for someone to give something, or, you know, such treasures. And it also brought to mind two pastimes of Srila Prabhupada for me while reading this purport. The first pastime was a pastime that took place in Bombay. And one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, he was smoking ganja. He was lying in the beach and he was smoking ganja. So one of Prabhupada's disciples came to him and said, "Srila Prabhupada, you know, so and so, he's, you know, lying on the beach and he's smoking ganja. So what should we do?" So Srila Prabhupada said, "You go and tell him that if he doesn't stop smoking ganja, I will reject him." So the devotee thought and he said, "Okay, Prabhupada, we'll do it." So he went and he told the disciple that. And then he came back to Srila Prabhupada and he said, "Srila Prabhupada, I have one question for you. Would you really reject that disciple? And Srila Prabhupada said, no. He said, there is no limit to the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So in the same way I was thinking, there is no limit to the extent to which Srila Prabhupada was prepared to extend himself to give us all Krishna consciousness. And the second pastime that came to mind, thinking about Srila Prabhupada translating, was a pastime. Once Srila Prabhupada gave initiation, and he gave the devotee the name Bhavananda. And he said, Bhavananda means the bliss of the material world. So this devotee went away, and he's thinking, what type of name did Srila Prabhupada give me? The bliss of the material world. So he was like thinking, maybe there's something wrong with him that he got such a name. So the next day, he went and he asked Srila Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, you gave me this name Bhavananda, the bliss of the material world. Can you explain to me what this means? And Srila Prabhupada said, yes. The bliss of the material world means preaching. Because when Lord Krishna sees preaching going on, he considers now that a long lost soul is going to be coming back to him. And he feels transcendental bliss. So the bliss of the material world is preaching. And I was thinking that that's probably Srila Prabhupada's, because Prabhupada said, these purports are my personal ecstasy. I was thinking that's probably Srila Prabhupada's bliss. So those were a few reflections I had. And I was thinking, Srila Prabhupada went to such extent to give us a Srimad Bhagavatam. It's our duty to study Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada also said, it is his desire that every respectable gentleman has a set of Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita in their home. And that's, another meditation or something we should think about, fulfilling and honoring Srila Prabhupada for what he went through to give us Srimad Bhagavatam. So coming back to the purport and the verse, just to put it back, put the verse in context for those devotees who are listening and haven't been following for a time. This particular pastime took place just after the killing of Agasura. And Shukadeva Goswami was explaining that a discussion on this pastime among the Vrajavasis only took place 1 year after the pastime took place. So Maharaj Parikshit, being very attentive in his hearing, he asked Shukadeva Goswami, why was that? Why was it 1 year it took before this pastime of the killing of Agasura was discussed? And then Shukadeva Goswami, he congratulated Maharaj Parikshit. He said, that's a wonderful question. And your questions are enthusing me to speak more and more on this subject matter. And then he described this particular pastime of Brahma Vimohana Leela, where Lord Brahma stole the boys and the calves. And it is explained that after the killing of the Agasura demon, all the demigods came and they were looking down at Krishna, and they were just completely fascinated. And Lord Brahma, he was also among them. And he was looking and he was thinking, who is this boy? Is he the Supreme Personality of Godhead? But if he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, why is he acting in this way? How is it that he is carrying some other boys on his back? How is it that he is stealing some food from their lunch tin? How is it he's behaving in such an ordinary way? So Lord Brahma, he thought, I need to find out more who this boy is. And he decided to play this trick on Krishna, of stealing the calves and the cowherd boys. And he thought he could do that by displaying some of his mystic powers, by stealing them and making them sleep. But we know from the previous reading, it actually all turned against him. And instead of him mystifying others, him displaying his mystic power, he got mystified. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, commenting on these, on Krishna book, or on the 10th canto, he explains that the different pastimes and the different demons, they represent different anarthas within our hearts. So, for this particular pastime and Lord Brahma's situation, he explains three types of anarthas. The first two anarthas is the anartha of karma and jnana. A devotee wanting to be engaged in karma and jnana. Now, how does that apply to Lord Brahma? Generally, when one speaks of jnana, it means speculation. So Lord Brahma, he was wondering, who is this boy? So instead of inquiring from some authority, what did he do? He speculated. He decided to test Krishna. The second anartha, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, is the anartha of considering the Aishwarya potency of the Lord to be superior to the Madhurya potency of the Lord. And the third anartha, which was just described in the verses before this, is the anartha of pride. When one becomes proud, that is detrimental to one's spiritual life. And when one becomes proud, what does Krishna do? He takes action. Always Krishna takes action for the devotee that has anarthas or pride in their heart. And there was one story to demonstrate this point. Once there was a king. He was a bit temperamental. And if he ever became angry, he would, you know, reprimand those he was against to or take some severe punishment. So once this temperamental king was in his chambers with his ministers, and he said, I have a question for y'all. My question is, what is God's constant activity? And he looked at the ministers, and he looked at the chief minister. And the chief minister, he got a bit bewildered. He was thinking, he can't be creation, because creation is once off. It can't be dissolution, because dissolution is once off. And it can't be maintenance, because sometimes there's creation, and sometimes there's dissolution. So he got afraid. He's thinking, oh, I don't know. So what do ministers do when they don't know? They pass the buck. So he looked at the chief pundit, and he said, I think this is not a good question for me. I think this is a question that the chief pundit should answer. So the chief pundit, he didn't know. And he became a bit nervous. So he said, Maharaj, you give me 1 week. You know, I've got to study the Shastra and the scriptures, and I'll do some research, and I'll come back And I'll tell you, what's God's constant activity? But he realized he was not getting the answer. So after a few days, he decided to leave town because he didn't want to bear the wrath of the king. So as he was leaving town, he met his disciple. So the disciple said, "Pranam Guru Maharaj, Gurudev, you know, where are you going?" So he said, "I'm leaving town." He says, "Why?" He said, "No, this king has asked this question and I don't know the answer." So the disciple said, "Maharaj, or Gurudev, let me answer. I will go on your behalf and I'll answer this question for the king." So the spiritual master said, "But you're my disciple. You know, if I don't know, how will you know?" He said, "Gurudev, by your mercy, I will answer." So he went to the king's, back to the king, and he said to the king, "You know, I am here. I am the disciple of, you know, such and such a person, my Gurudev, and he asked me to come and answer this question." So the king said, "Okay." But the disciple said, "But before I answer this question, you are sitting on the throne and I am standing here. You come down and let me sit there, because that's the etiquette. For someone is inquiring and someone is answering, I should be there." So the king became very, you know, upset and angry, but he knew what's the etiquette. He said, "Okay. Okay, but this better be good." So he came down and the minister went up. And then he said, "Your Honor, Your Maharaj, the constant business of God is to exalt the humble and to humble the exalted. And what we're seeing right now is a demonstration of that particular point." So this is Krishna's business. Krishna's business is to purify us. And whenever the devotee is going a bit off course, Krishna will intervene. And you can see here, Krishna has intervened, and he's taught Brahma a lesson. And when I read this particular verse, you know, in relative time, it is explained that 1 year in Brahma's day, that was just a moment. Brahma's 1 day is 1,000 cycles of the 4 kalpas, which means 1,000 cycles of 4,332,000 years. That's just 1 day. So it's 1 moment. And within this 1 moment, he had stolen the calves. He had become puffed up. He stolen the coward boys. But Krishna was merciful to him. Krishna was very merciful to him by showing. And that reminded me of this one verse, very famous verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, a verse that has been a source of great ecstasy for millions of years for devotees. And it's a grace, it's a verse that's meditated upon and discussed very often. It is a verse from the third canto, chapter 2, text 23. I'm sure many of you all know this verse, but I thought it was worth reciting. Aho bakiyam stanakalakutam jigham sayapayayad apyasadvi lebe gatim datri uchitam tat anyam kamba dayalam sharanam rajema. This is a verse spoken by Uddhava. And the translation of this verse is, "Alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of mother to a she-demon Putana, although she was unfaithful and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast?" And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains The very first line of this purport of this verse, Prabhupada says, this is an example of the extreme mercy of the Lord. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki. Jai Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki. Jai Shri Shri Gauritai Ki Jai. So, this is the quality of Krishna. He is most merciful to his devotees. And you can see here, Lord Brahma, the moment he became bewildered, the moment he became confused, Krishna showed him extreme mercy by giving him, showing him the actual position and giving him darshan, this beautiful darshan. So, Krishna, Lord Brahma, was actually initiated by Krishna. Srila Prabhupada says that in the purport in Bhagavatam, that Lord Brahma was initiated by Lord Krishna when he gave him the Kama Gayatri mantra. So the spiritual master and the Lord, when the devotee or the disciple goes astray, they correct the devotee through compassion, through love, through kindness. And Lord Brahma is being corrected in the same way. And you'll see from the verses after this and in the praise by Lord Brahma how much he appreciated that compassion. And Lord Brahma, when he was corrected by the Lord, he felt very ashamed. And in his book, Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains. He doesn't actually explain, or I couldn't understand, whether it happened instantaneously or later, but he explains that Lord Brahma, when he was humbled in this way by the Lord, he became very remorseful. And at that time, he could foresee the advent of Lord Chaitanya. And he didn't want to commit such a mistake again. So he went to Antardvip. And there he meditated for many, many years. Many, many years. And finally, Lord Gauranga came to Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma said, "My Lord, I am shamed, but I want to partake in your pastimes. Can you please, show me some mercy." And then Lord Gauranga told Lord Brahma, "It's okay. When I come down as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you'll also come and be involved in my pastimes. But you'll be born in the family of a Malecha." And that same Lord Brahma, he took birth as Haridas Thakur in the family of a Muslim. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he loved Haridas Thakur so much. Haridas Thakur was so dear to him. Haridas, because he was born in a Muslim family, he wouldn't go to the Jagannath temple. He would stay some distance away. And Lord Chaitanya would every day visit Haridas. And he would arrange for Lord Jagannath's prasad to be brought to him. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is explained that when Haridas Thakur passed away, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally carried his body to the ocean, bathed his body there. And it is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Mahaprabhu personally begged alms and arranged for this feast for Haridas Thakur. So, and in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's also another amazing pastime which demonstrates, Lord Chaitanya's love for Haridas Thakur. It is explained that once Mahaprabhu in the house of Srivas Thakur, he performed a wonderful leela called the Mahaprakash Leela. And in this leela, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was recounting the past lives of all the his associates. And was explaining how he had shown them mercy. And then eventually, and he was describing, and you know, each of the devotees' pastimes. And then eventually he came to Haridas. And he said, Haridas, he said, your body is more dear to me than my own body. He said, therefore, when you were being beaten in all the marketplaces by the Muslims, he said, I could not tolerate it. So immediately I came down and I was prepared, came down with my chakra, and I was prepared to slay all of them. I was prepared to slay all of them. But when I saw your mood towards all of these people who were beating you, your mood of just thinking only good of these people, he said, my chakra became powerless. And therefore, you know, all those beatings you took, I placed my body before yours. And if you want to see, I will show you. I will show you all those marks, all those beatings that you received. I took it for you. So this is Lord Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And I had a personal realization, you know, reading this verse, the verse I just quoted, Aho Baki, from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that Lord Krishna is extremely merciful to his devotees. And recently I was seeing this video, it was posted on Facebook, starring our dear Prayojan Prabhu. Did you see that? Bulva Mangala Thakur, narrated by Kripamoya Prabhu. And in that narration, it is explained that Lord Krishna, he is so merciful that you offer him some service, he makes a mountain of it. And if you create some offense, he makes a drop of it. So Lord Krishna is very merciful to his devotees. And my personal realization, it's been a meditation, because I also read two other quotations which sort of all came together with this verse. I read a quotation by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, where he says that a devotee, you should not try to see fault or see what is wrong with someone else, another devotee. That fault is the business of Lord Krishna and that devotee. It's not of your business. Your only business is to see your own faults and to work on that. And then I read another quotation from Srila Prabhupada, where Prabhupada is saying, if a devotee is engaged in devotional service and he's chanting his rounds and he's trying his best, that is sufficient. Even if there's some discrepancy, that should be forgotten. So even in this, so I was thinking, you know, yes, that it should be our mood. Our mood should be, Lord Krishna is very merciful. Sometimes we may see a devotee and we will think, you know, he's so, you know, off course. But we don't know what service that devotee has rendered to the Lord. How he has pleased Krishna. And how, what extent Krishna is prepared to go to show that devotee mercy. So we should never judge. And we should just think about our own position and where we are situated in our spiritual lives. The second part of this verse, which I wanted to comment on, is this point that Srila Prabhupada makes in the purport, that all the opulences of Vishnu are already present in Krishna. In the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami explains, details 64 qualities of the Lord. And it is, Rupa Goswami explains that the living entity can have 50 of those qualities, but in minute detail. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, they can have 55 of those qualities. And Lord Vishnu, he can have 60 of those qualities. But there's 4 qualities that only Lord Krishna has. And Srila Rupa Goswami explains that in detail in the Nectar of Devotion. And those qualities are Lila Madhurya, Venu Madhurya, Bhakta Madhurya, and Rupa Madhurya. The first one, Lila Madhurya, is explained that the pastimes, the Lila of Lord Krishna and his devotees, they are so sweet and unparalleled that quality you cannot find anywhere else. And Rupa Goswami, you know, goes into detail explaining some pastimes in that relation. Because of time, we have some limitations explaining. The second one is Rupa Madhurya. Lord Krishna's super excellent beauty. It's unparalleled. And it attracts the entire universe. It is so attractive that even Lord Krishna himself is attracted. And Rupa Goswami, he gives the example in Dwaraka. Once, Lord Krishna was looking at his reflection in the marble. And he's looking at the reflection and he's thinking to himself, who is this person so beautiful? Who is this person so beautiful? He himself becomes attracted. And the next one is Venu Madhurya. And that is Krishna's sweetness from his flute. When Krishna plays his flute, everyone becomes attracted. The animals, the insects, the bees, the gopis, all living entities, even the men become attracted. That is how attractive Lord Krishna's flute playing is. And the last quality is Bhakta Madhurya. His relationships with his devotees, or Bhakta Vatsal. His devotees are so dear to him. You will never find such relationship anywhere else. So, Lord Krishna was showing Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma, you think Aishwarya is needed. I'll show you the Aishwarya. You can see these forms. So beautiful. But my form of as Lord Krishna is superior. These Vishnu forms I'm showing you, which you are so attracted by, the opulence, they come from me. So Lord Brahma was taught like this, by this particular pastime. This one last quick point I wanted to make. In the verse, Prabhupada quotes Sarupya Mukti. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained that there are various types of liberation that a devotee can get. Salokya Rupti, Sharasti, Samipya Mukti, Sayujya Mukti, and Sarupya Mukti. That means having the same opulence as the Lord, Sharasti, living on the same planet as the Lord, Salokya Mukti, having the same opulence, same form of the Lord, Sarupya, and Samipya, having the same opulence, and Sayujya, becoming one with the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada explains that a devotee is not interested in any of this liberation. And most of all, Sayujya becoming one. And in the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami explains 6 characteristics of pure devotional service. Those devotees who did Bhakti Shastri, you can remember the 6 characteristics of pure devotional service? What's the first one? Yes, Kleshagni. Yeah. Pure devotional service immediately removes all suffering. And the second one was? Shubhada. Pure devotional service brings all auspiciousness. And the third one was? Moksha. Laguta Kritya. Pure devotional service derides the happiness that can be derived, get obtained from liberation. The fourth one is Sudurlabha. It's very rarely obtained. The next one is Chandranandan Visheshatma. And the last one is Krishna Kashini. Pure devotional service attracts even Krishna. But the fourth one is Moksha Lagutakrit. Means that pure devotional service derides even liberation. And Srila Prabhupada explains that the pure devotees, they are not even interested in liberation. But that's a whole topic. We ran out of time. I don't think I can go any further into that. But just some of the reflections that we had on this verse. And if anyone has any questions...